Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
Exclusive international cricket live. The West Indies versus England. Direct from the Kensington Oval, Barbados. On TalkSport 2.
A very good evening to you. I'm Andrew McKenna and welcome to TalkSport 2 and our exclusive coverage of the second T20 International between the West Indies and England in Barbados. Okay, time to hold my hands up. Yesterday evening I started off by telling you this wasn't the same England as the Ashes and that T20 was a format of the game that England were pretty good at. Well, unfortunately, that's not how things played out. Bowled out for 103, England were never in the game as the West Indies cruised home for a 9-wicket win. Today's a new day, though, and if we know anything about cricket with England under Owen Morgan, it'll certainly not be panic stations. There'll have been conversations, there'll have probably been a few tweaks, but all done to give England the best chance of winning. So sit back and enjoy it as we find out over the next 4 hours or so whether England can level things up here on TalkSport 2. Well, evening all. Welcome along. And we are a couple of minutes away from the coin going up to decide team news and toss, of course. First thing to tell you, we've got another glorious day in Barbados. There was some rain overnight and early morning, but no sign of that and certainly no issue regarding the players at the moment and starting this game on time. So it is all systems go. And England need to be all systems go because yesterday was all systems in full reverse, if we're brutally honest about the whole thing. Horrible time for them. 103 all out in 19 overs and 4 balls. 49 for 7 in the 12th over when Owen Morgan was dismissed. They were never at the races and they only got to 103 thanks to Chris Jordan with 28 and Adil Rashid with 22. So that was the problem. Although the bowlers gave it a go, there simply weren't enough runs on the board. Adil Rashid, the only man who was able to make a breakthrough, getting Shai Hope out. So we are awaiting the news from the toss, which will happen very, very shortly indeed. We'll be heading out to the middle to bring you that. Be interesting to see if England go unchanged or not. The word we're hearing is that Liam Livingston is now officially back in the squad for today's game after his illness. Doesn't mean he'll be picked. So we'll be finding that from Owen Morgan shortly. But it looks like England are getting closer to being at full strength for these matches. Remember, this is the second of five. Number three is on Wednesday evening. And then it is next weekend for games numbers four and five. All of them get underway at 8 p.m. Toss at 7:30. We'll be with you for those. The toss for today's game is imminent because I can see Owen Morgan and Kyron Pollard have joined Mark Butcher out in the middle and we can join them.
The West Indies sponsored by Betway. I've got Richie Richardson, match referee. I've got Kyron Pollard, Owen Morgan. Kyron, please give it a flip. Call his heads. It's come down a tail. West Indies have won it again. What are you going to do, Kyron Pollard?
How are we going to feed first?
Similar to yesterday, then you'll be hoping that you can get away to a flying start with wickets in the power play once more.
Yeah, pretty much hopeful. But obviously, we're going on to a new pitch as well. So you don't know what it has to offer. Obviously, sometimes it looks like it's going to play well, but it's only when you're actually on it. So we get an opportunity to see what it does firstly and then, you know, assess from there.
OK, must be very happy with the performance yesterday. Did everybody come through fit and ready to play today? Any changes to your team?
No, same team. Obviously, give the guys another opportunity. You know, the guys, you know, have done well yesterday. And yes, we have a big squad, but, you know, we're in a position now where, you know, we want to try to, you know, inculcate, you know, one sort of movement. And, you know, I think the guys are looking forward to the challenge.
Absolutely. Important that you back up one good performance with another.
Yeah, of course. That has been one of our biggest challenges, you know, over the years, you know, trying to replicate and do the same things over and over. Conversation has been, you know, success is boring. You know, sometimes you have to do that thing over and over in order to be, you know, sort of, you know, consistent. So that's what we are striving for. You know, okay. Yesterday was a start, but as I said, less than 24 hours, we're back here and we have to try to do it yet again.
Okay, great stuff. Thanks for speaking with us. Owen, well, as so often happens in sport, you get a chance to rectify the mistakes of yesterday.
Yeah, not normally as quick as this. So it is nice him back. Obviously, a different surface, like Polly mentioned, doesn't play how it looks. So again, a challenge similar to yesterday is going to be adapting to conditions, doing that better, trying to negate things like we didn't do well yesterday.
Okay, large squad, COVID, etc., etc. Back-to-back games. Any changes to your side from yesterday?
Yeah, we've made one change. Tymar Mills is missing out, and Rhys Topley comes in place of him.
Okay, and no Liam Livingston yet. He's still struggling.
Still unavailable at the moment. Like I mentioned, pre-series, we will continue to change aside, probably more so, you know, for the last three games now that we're bang bang first up.
Okay, I'm struggling to hear you now, so I'm going to let you go. The news from the middle here in this second Betway T20 International is that the West Indies have won the toss, and once again, they're going to have a bowl first.
Thank you very much, Butch. So there is the news. West Indies unchanged. England do make a change. Rhys Topley in for Tymal Mills. Butch may have not been able to hear Owen Morgan, but thankfully we could. And he did also say, despite us being told that Liam Livingston was back and in the squad and available, it would seem that from what Owen Morgan was saying, he's not actually fit and available to be involved today. So as yet, Liam Livingston not available to be selected. So England will be batting first once again. Delighted to say the former England spinner Gareth Batty is with us on commentary duty once again for this evening's game. What do you make of that then, Gareth? One change.
Very good evening, Macca. Very good evening, everybody listening. I think with back-to-back games, there's a pretty good chance that the big fellas, the fast bowlers, are going to have some niggles from time to time. Tymal Mills has had his injury issues. Is it something that he's picked up last night, or is it precaution that they're saying, look, he's not going to play back-to-back games, we're not going to risk breaking him? The one thing I do know, Rhys Topley is a very, very good replacement. See him at close quarters, obviously on a daily basis back at the Oval. And he's in good form, he's in good fettle. He's slightly taller than Tymal Mills, but maybe it is a fraction tactical. After they saw Holder, he's not quite as tall as Jason Holder, but he's certainly tall. He's got that beautiful left arm over, swinging it back into the pads as well, which King and a few others have a few slight issues with in the West Indian ranks. So is it technical? Is it a slight niggle to Mills? Who knows? But, you know, personally, selfishly, it's good for Rhys Topley. The rest of the England lineup, you'd expect to see the same.
Rhys Topley comes in. His dad is out in Barbados watching, and I hope he's able to get into the ground slightly quicker than he did yesterday, because on social media he was saying there were all sorts of problems getting into the ground because there weren't enough gates open. So as a result, an awful lot of spectators actually missed the start of the game because they spent some time in the queue. So, Donny, if you've got TalkSport 2 on while you're in the queue, jump the queue. Make sure you're in early doors so you get to see the start of play. There was discussion, let's put the word discussion out there, about the pitch we were on for yesterday's game. Today, we've moved three pitches to the left as we're looking out from the broadcast area. Now, that is nearer to where England played their warm-up game during the week. That played like an absolute belter. Barry Wilkinson, of course, is our West Indian expert once again. Is that maybe the side of the square to be on, maybe? Are the surfaces, as you get further to the left of the block, maybe a little bit better? Because this one looks, in character, different to yesterday's pitch.
Yeah, this pitch looks much better for batting, I must tell you. And yeah, you're right. The pitch on the left, where the England team would have played that warm-up, is where they belted over 200 runs. we have to wait and see. Not a lot of cricket has happened at Kensington Oval in the last 18 months to 2 years, as you would appreciate, because of COVID and what have you. So we're not quite sure yet to see how the squares have been playing. They've done so much remedial work. Australia played here last year in August, and that was the last internationals that we've had at Kensington. The Caribbean Premier League was played only in St Kitts last year. So no cricket really has been played at the Oval. So I'm not quite sure that any pitch is more favourable in terms of scoring more runs than any. You have to just to see how they have been prepared. But when you look at this particular surface, it's void of grass. Unlike yesterday, yesterday had much more grass, and that's why the seamers had such a great time. This one seems to be more void of grass. And I think it also looks flatter, which the England team should enjoy. What is hilarious, I'm seeing Jason Holder mark his run-up at both ends, so I'm not quite sure if he's going to be delivering at both today, because yesterday he delivered at one and he got 4 for 7. If he's bowling at both ends today, he's probably going to get 8. But no, the conditions are absolutely spectacular. And this pitch to me looks a bit more balanced than yesterday, which I think favoured any seamer who would have perhaps been licking their chops when they saw it early in the day.
So the West Indies have won the toss. They have put England in to bat. So it's basically a repeat of yesterday in terms of the toss and the decision. In terms of the team news, England made one change. Rhys Topley is in for Tamar Mills. That's the only change on both sides. So Jason Roy, Tom Banton, James Vince, Moeen Ali, Owen Morgan, Sam Billings, Chris Jordan, Liam Dawson, Adil Rashid, Saqib Mahmood and Rhys Topley for England. Shai Hope, Brandon King, Nicholas Pooran, Darren Bravo, Kyron Pollard, Jason Holder, Fabian Allen, Romario Shepherd, Odin Smith, Akil Hussain and Sheldon Cottrell are the team for the West Indies. The players have just observed a moment as the anti-racism stance, and they're now out in the middle and preparing to get themselves underway.
Exclusive international cricket live, the West Indies versus England on TalkSport 2.
Here we go, it's Sheldon Cottrell once again. The second ball of the England innings is flicked down the leg side by Tom Banton, and England are 5 without loss after 2 deliveries of this second T20 international. Banton gets down on one knee, swings this over square leg and puts it into the stand for 6. England go to 13 without loss, Banton goes to 12 from 9. It was worth an appeal, maybe the couple of balls ago, but Banton has decided he's going to take on Akil Hussain. Jason Roy goes on the reverse, flips it over the offside through backward point, one bounce, and it starts heading up the steps as if it's going into the pavilion and the England dressing room. Cottrell is in. That is hit savagely hard by Jason Roy through long on. It's one bounce four. And I've been inclined to say that it was getting quicker as it hit the advertising hoarding 80 yards away from where Jason Roy made contact.
Down the pitch and it's out caught and bowled. Banton advancing to Allen. He struck it really hard. Had Allen not taken that catch, I tell you, his stomach would have had another navel, because that was indeed struck really powerfully back to Allen. Good cotton ball. England lose their first wicket. Banton has gone for 25 from 18. It's 36 for 1. Here he comes in again and bowls. Yeah. And this delivery is beaten, or is he bowled? I think he's bowled him.
Yep, he's bowled him. We heard the noise. We heard the death rattle. James Vince is not convinced. Yeah, and we've just seen there, James Vince is, the two umpires are conferring, but James Vince has just asked Shai Hope, did that bowl me? And Shai Hope has said yes, and James Vince walked off. So that was good to see. That's really good to see. Didn't go to the third umpire, wasn't asked to go off field. The batsman asked the wicketkeeper, did that bowl me? James Vince walks off. A pretty four. England are in a bit of trouble here, 40 for 2.
Here comes Allen in again. Left arm spin and bowls to Ali. And he's driving this beautifully down the ground. That's gone straight. That's the first boundary in quite a while. Moeen Ali just releasing the pressure a little bit.
Well, England have only hit 1-4 in the last 26 deliveries. So it's Fabian Allen for his final over. And it's Jason Roy. And he's beaten Akil Hussain at backward point. And that will break that drought as far as England are concerned, because the first ball of the 11th over goes for a boundary. Roy goes to 21. England 68 for 2. Allen is in. Swung into the leg side by Jason Roy. That's going flat
and all the way into the stand. It probably never got more than 25, 30 feet off of the deck, and it stayed at that level, travelling all the way. 4 and a 6 in this over for England. 6 more to Jason Roy.
Cool, that was savage. Absolutely savage from Roy. A lapse log hitting flat over the fielder. Didn't care there's a man out on the boundary. I'm hitting it over, I'm hitting it hard, and I'm taking that fielder on. Great shot from Jason Roy. That's the one where the heart is in the mouth. As he strikes it, you just think, oh my goodness, get out of the way in the crowd. Because that's gone flat and hard. That's dangerous.
Fabian Allen comes in again. Jason Roy takes him into the leg stand. That is massive! Oh my goodness, that's out the ground. Jason Roy just purses his lips and has a little nod to Moeen Ali. I tell you what, I hope that ball hasn't got Kookaburra on it and someone's got the postcode, because we're going to need to find someone to find it and post it back. That's gone miles. 80 for 2.
Yeah, Roy into his stride now. He's taken Allen to his last over and he's targeted him. He's got the short leg side boundary and he said, right, here we go. This is my time. He's going a little bit wider of the stump so Jason Roy can get his arms free. This time over the pavilion, and a long way over. 150 yards over the pavilion. He's gone miles.
In goes Fabian Allen. Jason Roy hoicks this one into the leg side. That's a one bounce four. Into the dugouts where the England players are in front of the dressing rooms. And that is now 4.664 this over. And England are taking on Fabian Allen.
Yeah, this is all about brute force. Jason Roy just muscled that into the gap.
Holder in. Moeen Ali goes across the crease. Hits back over the bowler's head. It's one bounce four. Moeen Ali met that on the full toss and pumped it straight back past Jason Holder. And he's now gone for 6 runs. He only went for 7 yesterday in taking 4 wickets. But Moeen Ali has pumped the bowler back over his head. One bounce four and it's 93 for 2.
I wouldn't be surprised if this partnership... Moeen and Jason have had a chat saying we're gonna target that leg side boundary, and I think Holder knows it. His first ball a big wide outside the off stump. He doesn't want to get hit straight and dragged into that leg side boundary.
Moeen Ali walks across the offside, swings to the leg side, gets an outside edge that Shea Hope can't get hold of, and it'll go all the way down to the very fine third man boundary for 4 runs. That is exactly what Gareth Bassey was just talking about. England have decided to try and use the angle and swing across the line. Moeen Ali went a long way across his stumps to the offside, was hoiking to leg, but got the outside edge and gave the keeper no chance in his fall. In goes Shepherd, wide of the off stump. Jason Roy is hitting to the leg side, gets an under edge past wicketkeeper Shea Hope. It's gone in the opposite direction. It goes for 4, and the England 100 is up. Jason Roy is one blow away from a 50. He's 45 not out. He hits from Mario Shepherd to long on, and he's caught by Kieran Pollard. Kieran Pollard turns around to the spectators behind him and just gives them a little shush. He just wiped his face of sweat before Mario Shepherd ran in that ball, Kieran Pollard, just to refocus himself. It was a back-of-the-hand slower ball that Jason Roy has slapped straight to long on. Pollard waited and waited, takes it in the bread basket, goes down to his knees, and the West Indies might have just saved themselves about 30 or 40 runs there. England lose their third. 45 from 31 is Jason Roy. They're 101 for 3. Right arm over the wicket. Billings up and underneath this one, carves it over backward point. And the fielder down on the third man boundary, Odin Smith, can't get around and cut that one off. Sam Billings is underway with a 4. He's got 4 from 3 balls, 105 for 3. Moeen Ali hitting to the short one. And boy, has he got all of that. That's another souvenir for someone in the crowd. He gets it up and into the jet stream of the wind. It wasn't a full-blooded smash. It was a sort of timing flip. He helps it into the leg side. And that is a 6 for Moeen Ali. Glorious shot. Gets it high, high and handsome. And it's up and on the way. And it's another maximum for England that takes them to 114 for 3.
Moeen Ali, wow.
4th/6 of the England innings. He's chipped this one to short third man, though. Has he hit it straight into the floor? Well, Sheldon Cotterill is claiming the catch. It's a wide ball on the crease line. And Moeen Ali has sort of jabbed the bat towards it. Now, the West Indies are celebrating. Moeen Ali gives the impression that he wasn't sure. Did he hit it straight into the floor and squeeze it to the fielders? The umpires are getting together. Now, the important question is, what are they saying for the soft signal? Well, he has been given out by Gregory Brathwaite. So Moeen Ali goes for 31 from 24. It's 114 for four. Left arm around to the right-hander. Billings goes on the sweep. It's taken the edge, loops up, and Sheldon Cotterill at short fine leg inside the circle takes the catch. Sam Billings goes. It's 116 for five. Billings makes five from seven.
Here he comes again at balls. This one is swung in the air, out to the mid-on area. Chance for a catch. Brandon King settles, takes the catch. The captain is gone. Jason Holder picks up the wicket to break the momentum. England now falter to 147 for six.
Again into the pitch, Barry. That's it. Tall, tall man, tall action. High release point. He's bowled a ball into, I would say it's more or less in the slot for Owen Morgan. On a true pitch in the slot, he's back the England captain to hit that out the ground. But because of the way the surface is, it's just sat in the pitch, and Owen Morgan hasn't quite timed it right. But straight up in the air, England captain goes for 13. England 147 for six.
Here he comes in again, and balls to Jordan, and Jordan is driving in the air, out to Jason Holder, that long off, catch taken on the boundary. Jordan goes, but not the biggest of worries, because I thought 27 he made from 15 was just what the doctor ordered for England. They've made 162 for seven so far, with still eight balls left. Anything is possible, but Jordan again, the game changer with the batting.
Beautiful innings by Chris Jordan. But again, mentioned, I'm sick of mentioning this now, it's in the surface. You hit the surface, bowled a ball probably in the slot on an absolute road. This is in the slot and it goes out the ground. It's twice now. Owen Morgan and Chris Jordan have had balls that are in the slot, bowling hard into the surface, and it's very difficult to time it on. Morgan caught 10 yards in off the boundary. Chris Jordan a little bit stronger, and he's picked 6'7", 6'8", Jason Holder out, standing on a boundary, take the catch with ease.
Comes in again at balls, this time this is swung out to the mid-wicket area, chance for a catch, catch taken! Fabian Allen there at mid-wicket, taking an easy catch. Dawson departs, and Holder gets another. Four yesterday, two today, and he's not quite done yet. 164 for eight, and four balls left.
And it's another ball that sat in. It's not quite a yorker, it's what you would say, it's again, it's in the slot. So I'm repeating myself again, but it's in the slot. Gone to the big boundary against the wind. Jason Holder, because of his height, ball's just sat there, and it's an easy catch.
Last delivery. Here comes Jason Holder down. Balls to Mahmood. And Mahmood gets a short ball again. This time he's forced to defend it. Playing it square to the offside. Well ball by Jason Holder. A single to end the innings. And England, after losing the toss, being asked to bat, they finish on 171 for 8 here after 20 overs on top for 2.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to one to two coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
On
DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app and on your smart speaker.
Exclusive international cricket live. The West Indies versus England. Direct from the Kensington Oval, Barbados. On TalkSport 2.
Here comes Topley to bowl to Brandon King. Wide and down the leg side, and tremendously stopped there from the keeper. Comes in again and bowls, and this time he's wrapped in the pad. There's a loud appeal he's given him. Topley caught King LBW, and he's straight away going upstairs. But I think the decision might stand. It looked pretty straight from here.
Unless he's hit this, Barry, I think he might be on his way and out. He'll be going. Great start by Rhys Topley. He's got the ball swinging. Has referred it.
Let's have a look. Topley. Pitch just about. Sure, couldn't be missing. It looked to me like he pitched perhaps pitched just on the outside leg. It'd be interesting to see this graph.
I think it's maybe it's going on to be doing too much, Barry.
No bat involved for sure.
No bat involved.
If the ball goes past the bat, gap between bat and ball tracking when ready.
Umpire's call, so that's a bit unfortunate for Brandon King.
Umpire's call on impact, umpire's call on wicket. I'm going to go back to Nigel on field. Nigel, I'm going to ask you to stay with your original out decision. You're on screen now.
So a bit unfortunate for Brandon King. If he was given that out, might have...
This is hilarious, this, Barry. England players, I don't think they realise that they've got the wicket. I don't think the England players have realised they've got the wicket here because they've all gone back into their fielding positions.
Either that or they're just not celebrating. Well, I just don't think they're celebrating for some... I think they did all the celebration prior, so they were just waiting on the confirmation. Now they've got that, they're ready to roll again. But this is not a good start for the Windies. 3-1 after two. Here comes Topley now again and bowls to Hope. And Hope gets a yorker, digs it out, but they're going to still steal a single, will they? Oh no, I think he's going to be run out. Topley has done a brilliant job. They're going upstairs, but I think Shea Hope might just continue to run on. It was a yorker delivery. Shea Hope dug it out, pushed it down the ground. Topley diving across the pitch, fielded as they took a single, threw at the stumps and connected. And I think that Shea Hope is a goner. Yes, he is. Keep going, Shea Hope. The Windies are 6-2 in some trouble.
Well described there, Barry, because that was brilliant.
Oh, swung it to the leg side by Poran. He has got all of that one. And it comes back off the fascia of the Greenwich and Hames stands. A bit more flight on that one. That's one-handed from Bravo. What a hit. It goes all the way for six. Monally around the wicket. Back deep in the crease is Poran. Going for square leg. He's not got all of that one. Caught on the boundary coming in. Poran goes 24 from 22 deliveries. And England have their third. And surprise, surprise, Rhys Topley's had a hand in so many things this evening. He's out there, but it's Vince who takes the catch in the end. It doesn't matter either way. Poran's gone. West Indies 47-3.
Yeah, Moinelli straight into the attack. It looks like sort of a square seamer that rushes onto Poran, hits him high on the bat, on the splice, on the stickers of the blade, and it just lobs out to a diving James Vincent, straight mid-wicket. Great catch. Not sure he needed the dive, but it made it look a bit more spectacular. Very good. Moinelli into the action. Does his job against the two left-handers, breaks this partnership. The West Indian captain strides out onto the pitch.
Rashid is... Oh! Bigger LBW appeal against Pollard. I think there might be an inside edge there, which is why they're not going full bore at it, although Adil Rashid wants it, and they are indeed going to review. Pitch is in line. Impact is in line. Wickets hitting. And Pollard has gone for a single from four deliveries, and the West Indies are 50-4.
Adil Rashid from the Joe Garner end with his... leg spin. He was so sure about that wicket with Pollard. He comes in and bowls to Bravo. This wrap to the pad is a loud appeal for LBW. Rashid is still appealing. Are they going to go upstairs again? In the end, the ball goes into the onside and they take one, and they are going to go upstairs for another LBW shout. And Rashid seemed just as confident about that one as he did with Pollard.
I actually think he was more confident of that one than he was with Pollard. It's just as it pitched in line.
Here it is. The ball pitched in line. Impact in line, hitting. That's another wicket. That's another wicket for Dean Rashid. Bravo is a goner. Ali to continue and bowls to Holder. Holder's driving. Back to Moeen Ali, he's up caught. Caught and bowled. As simple as that. I thought it might have been a bump ball. Holder's walking off in shock. Moeen Ali has got another wicket. And the Windies now, like England yesterday, in tatters on 57 for 6.
Absolute tatters. A little bit like Tom Banton, Fabian Allen in the first innings. Batsman comes down the wicket, gets a good piece of it. Hits it straight back at Moeen Ali. I'm not sure what Moeen Ali was more surprised at most. The ball nestling into his hands, and he caught it. Very, very big surprise on his face when he actually did manage to hold on to it.
Smith swings and swings it hard. That's 6, number one, Odin Smith. You just gotta love him. It was tossed up there for Moeen Ali. He didn't even want to get his eye in. He swung it over long on, and that's a 6 for the big man, Odin Smith.
As this one is swung in the air, out to the mid-wicket boundary, over mid-wicket, it's gone for 6.
So Romario Shepherd decided to throw caution to the wind and swings the big 6, just releasing the pressure a little bit. Dawson perhaps guilty of over-pitching. That wasn't a bad delivery, he just picked it up well.
No, he dragged it down just a touch, just dragged it down into the surface. He's given himself some room deep in the crease, helped it on its way.
Dawson comes in and bowls to Shepherd, and Shepherd is hitting this high, hard, in the air. And where's it gone? It's gone over long on for another big 6. Wow, that was a big one.
Allen across his stumps, flicks it into the leg side, and he's caught. Deep square leg. Tom Banton stationed out there, takes it easy as you like. And if there was any outside chance of the West Indies getting up on this one, it may have just disappeared with that 8th wicket as Allen goes, caught. Deep backward square leg, and the West Indies 98 for 8.
Yeah, a smart piece of bowling from Chris Jordan. Set his field. Deep square leg, deep mid wicket. Long on. Pace off ball. Balls it into the pitch. The pitch stays slow from back of a length, and Fabian Allen just gets dragged into helping it around the corner. Exactly where Chris Jordan had placed his deep square leg. Straight in. Easy catch for Banton. 5 piece of bowling from Jordan. Just before that wicket, there was a bit of you. You had to tell yourself in the brain that they can't do this, they can't do this. But with those two at the crease, Allen and Shepherd, their striking ability was through the roof. So a massive first wicket there for Chris Jordan.
Moody's on his way in from the 3W stand end. Akil Hussain is backing away to the leg side, and he's got this wider third man. Third man on the edge of the 30-metre circle, and Akil Hussain has guided it beautifully through. It's away for 4. He goes to 7, 108 for 8.
What a smart batting from Hussain. He's obviously, you look at his stature, you're saying he's not a man that might be biffing it back straight down the ground over your head. So he wants to use a bit of pace. Mahmood's gone pace on. He's backed away and sliced it through sort of backward point. Third man, he's up in the circle. All he's got to do is beat him. Smart batting.
Chris Jordan will bowl the 18th. Right arm over he goes. Akil Hussain aims over the offside. Oh, what a shot. The young bowler has just hit Chris Jordan over long off. For 6, Hussain goes to 16. It's 117 for 8.
Cool, hang on a second. What a shot this is. This is a shot of a top order batter. Beautiful flow of the bat.
Oh, Shepherd swung this into the leg side. Sixer into the scoreboard. And 6-1-6 goes this over. Shepherd goes to 28. The West Indies haven't given this one away yet. It's 124 for 8. It means they need 48 from the remaining 15 deliveries. Odin Smith is off the field. He's sitting next to Phil Simmons on the bench. He's watching and waiting. And he's seeing his mate swing another into the leg side. That's even bigger. That's almost landed in the party stand. It's another 6. Third 6 of the over. 42 needed from 14. And Shepherd has 34 from 22 deliveries. Rhys Topley to bowl his final over. Left arm over, swing outside of off stump, and Shepherd can't make contact with that one. Barry Wilkins is in the back of the box. He's adamant the West Indies can still win this game. Final ball of the 19th then. Topley in, swung hard by Shepherd, out through point. One bounce, two bounces. Can Mo and Ali get there? No. It goes away for four. So 19 gone. 142 for eight. Shepherd moves to 44. The West Indies need 30 more from the final six deliveries. Right, we've plugged in Barry Wilkinson. Barry, tell me why you thought at the start of that over it was still so possible for the West Indies.
Look, Romario Shepherd, as I said earlier, West Indies A team versus New Zealand A, December 3rd, 133 from 154 balls, 14-4, 7-6s, when the West Indies were struggling at 77-7. He came in batting at number 9 and belted that 100. And everyone took note that then, that was in December, like I said, 2020. Everyone took note that this youngster from Guyana is no joke. And I've seen him play some innings in the CPL, and I understand how he likes to bat. He's extremely confident, and I've seen him belt some sixes, and that's why I had the confidence that, look, even though the West Indies will probably go down, once Romario Shepherd is there, they're going to definitely go down guns blazing.
Exclusive international cricket live, the West Indies versus England on TalkSport 2.
It is Akhil Hussain who is on strike for the first ball of the last over. 18 from 10 he has to his name. It's almost 11:30 this Sunday evening. And Saqib Mahmood has the final over, but it's not the first ball of the final over because he's put it across the left-hander, but too wide. And Joel Wilson stretches out his arms, calls wide, and it's now 29 needed from six regulation deliveries.
I don't think that will faze him too much. He's got a plan to get out on that wide line. He's only missed it fractionally. It's good that he committed to it.
Right, gathers at the end of his mark, on his way. Right arm over the wicket. That could be another wide, you know. That's a big swish. And everyone turns to Joel Wilson, and Joel Wilson doesn't raise his arms on this occasion. England were concerned, or should I say disappointed, with the call of wide earlier. Now it's Akhil Hussain's turn to be disappointed and staring at the umpire saying, well, why wasn't that one? And that did look a little bit wide of the blue marker.
No. Pitched inside the blue line. He's been consistent as Joel Wilson. We've seen that before. In the first innings, I possibly said it was a wide when actually it's exactly the same as what we've just seen there.
Mahmood. Akhil Hussain gives himself some space outside of Boston. Swings it to the leg side. Great shot. England have got two men patrolling the leg side boundary. One at long on, one at mid-wicket. And he's managed to get it between the pair of them, and it goes away for four. The West Indies 147 for eight.
It's a good swipe, this, from Hussain. He got that gap. It is the shorter boundary, but it doesn't matter. He's managed to get enough left-hand in it just to persuade it into that gap. Muscle, I'm not so sure, but the bat swing, speed of swing, all there. Very well played, young man.
22 from 12, 25 needed from 4. Swings hard, back over Mahmood's head. It needs to go all the way. Now, did that land on the boundary foam? It's 4, it was just short. The West Indies needed that to go all the way. The 150 comes up, it's 151 for 8, but it's 21 from 3 balls.
Akhil Hussain has a first-class 100, just in case you needed that fact at this stage, Macca.
I think I can understand why. He got himself very deep in the crease and then straight drove it back over the bowler's head. And that was millimetres away from landing on the boundary sponge and being a 6. Pressure on Mahmood. He's on his way for the fourth ball. Right arm over. That will be called wide. Joel Wilson raises the arms. 152 for 8. 20 more from 3 balls. It's still not technically possible, but all of these things just build up the pressure, Gareth Batty.
Oh, you can see the pressure, the tension around the stadium, not just on the players' faces, but in the crowd. Like you say, mathematically, it's done. But both of the batters out there, they still feel it. They don't feel like it's done. They're expecting a no ball, a couple of wides. They're expecting something. And you can see Mahmood, he knows that this is his audition. This is his chance. He's got to get it right. It's international cricket. There's a lot on the line.
He's had a chat with Owen Morgan. Now he comes in. Achilleslade whacks this into the leg side. Oh, great attempt to stop the ball, but it goes for six. It's 14 off of two balls, but Achilleslade is going to get every maximum ounce he can get out of this in the hope that Mahmood will bowl another wide and keep this game alive. But what a shot, pulled over at mid-wicket. It's a brilliant, brilliant attempt by Jason Roy. He ends up tipping it over the bar for six, but he was centimetres away from pulling off an absolute worldie.
It's a full swing of the back again. It's that bat again. I'm saying Roy almost gets it. He went with the wrong hand. Almost needed to be a left-handed catch. Sort of top left-hand corner, but he goes with the right hand because he trusts it a bit more. Almost claws it in. But the momentum and the power of the ball takes him over the line. And it's another six. Fantastic batting from these two young men.
So 3 years ago, Durban Heat needed 12 runs, I think. Sorry, we're defending with 12 runs needed off the last ball.
14 from two. Here comes Mahmood. Achilleslade swings hard into the leg side again. He's got that one. It goes for six. Eight off the last ball is what's required. All Mahmood has to do is not bowl a no ball or a wide, and this is done. But at the moment, Achilleslade's beans are going. He's pinged that one. That's an absolute beauty over the leg side, and the crowd are loving it. The West Indies technically cannot win if the bowler just keeps his cool.
This is better than the previous one. This is a heck of a strike. Short boundary, no short boundary, it doesn't matter. That's a 90-yard strike, straight over long on into the crowd. The crowd are loving it. They've got full value for money. 38 off 15 now from Hussain. Wow, has he played a hand. Even if it's in vain, this is incredible from these two West Indian batters.
Mahmood has the final ball of his over, the final ball of the innings. He's got 0 for 39 so far. He's gone for back-to-back sixes. Eight needed from the final ball. Mahmood runs up, right arm over. Achilleslade smashes it over long off for six. It's an incredible way to finish. Six, six, six. But it's not enough. England have won by one run. Achilleslade is down on his knees in the middle of the pitch. He gets a pat on the head from Romario Shepherd. Now Sam Billings wanders over and pats him on the back. There's going to be a bit of a strange feeling within the England camp. They've won the match, they've levelled the series, but the last over belongs to Achilleslade. England will tell you, though, they did enough because the final over, they came up short. But what a dramatic finish to this game, Gareth Batty.
God, I mean, one of the biggest compliments you could pay any West Indian cricketer, that last shot, it looked like Brown Lara. The way he just hit it up and over, long off, and it's gone a long way back. There is no question that this is short boundary hitting. This is proper hitting from a, you know, a slight man compared with Shepherd at the other end, who's 6 foot plenty and a very, very big man. That was a wonderful effort from these two. They've shown some real fight. They've shown some real passion. They've done some things there that in that changing room, yes, they've lost a game of cricket, but I tell you what, they'll be full of energy. They'll be buzzing off that. That is a very dangerous statement there by these two young batters in England. Need to take heed from that and actually just learn from what's just happened there, those last two or three overs.
Well, the players are walking off, and Kyron Pollard has just given a big, big hug and a pat on the back to Achilleslade as he goes past him. He's just shaken hands with Owen Morgan with a huge, huge grin on his face, as if to say to Owen Morgan, yeah, you know how close that one was. Let's bring Barry back in. Well, I'll tell you what, Barry, you weren't a million miles wrong.
I told you, this is what you call a tremendous defeat. The West Indies fans would not mind what happened at Kensington Oval tonight, because this is what you call fight, hard, giving it your all. And I warned you that Hussain and Shepherd are not batsmen to be played with. They could have won this game for the West Indies. I mean, they came within one run, and we would be going to a super over. And I'm not surprised by what happened here at all. The writing has been on the wall for the last couple of seasons. Watching Hussain, watching Shepherd, these guys have really propped up the West Indies in terms of the bottom half of the innings when it had been soft. And what we saw here tonight was what I would consider to be a tremendous defeat. Windies should not feel shamed at all. And the fans got their full value. Every fan here got full value tonight and watching around and listening on TalkSport 2.
Well, that is the highest ninth wicket stand in T20 cricket for the West Indies. 72 unbroken, beating the previous best of DJ Bravo and Jerome Taylor against Pakistan back in 2016 in Dubai. They made 66. So England win by one run. They posted 171 for eight. Remember, the par score, or sorry, the average score in Barbados in T20s is only 155. So we thought England were plenty above par on that one. And then when the West Indies were 57 for 6, 65 for 7, it looked like the West Indies were out with the washing, but Romario Shepherd and Akhil Hussain had other ideas. They both finished 44 not out, and the West Indies lose by one run, and the series is level at one match apiece.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
Exclusive international cricket live. The West Indies versus England. Direct from the Kensington Oval, Barbados. On TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.